What I'd like to do tonight, as part of our continuing reflections upon what we need to develop the interior life, is to talk about heroes. If we're going to have an interior life, it's going to take nothing more than heroic to make it through, and especially in the world today, in overcoming our own faults and failings, in having the attitude towards sin that it is the greatest evil in my life. I've talked the past couple of weeks about pettiness. People can have the greatest prayers that they want, you know, the greatest, the most perfect of all prayers. There's one prayer by St. Clement Mary Hofbauer that's supposed to contain all things necessary for salvation if somebody prays it. It's a wonderful prayer. As wonderful it is, though, it'll be petty in the hands of a person who just recites it and doesn't put the prayer into practice. That's been my point the past few weeks here, we're talking about pettiness. We can't have pettiness if we're going to have the interior life. If we're going to grow interiorly, it can't be something that is just measured by half measures, by compromise. If we're going to come and live for God, we're going to live for Him and with Him, which means we're going to need to be heroes. We're going to have to be heroes according to the way everything understands about what it is. We define a hero as somebody who not just lives the ordinary, compromises a point here and there, lives in society as they should, maybe doesn't follow the laws as much as they can, but they're doing the best they can. They try. Remember from what I said on Sunday, I'm an enemy of that word of trying when it comes to the spiritual life, because we have to do more than try. A hero does more than try. A hero does. A hero puts it into practice. We're only going to grow in the spiritual life if we put into practice the things that we know, not just try them, not just pray a few prayers, but actually do the things that we know we should. Heroes are so wrapped up in the conviction of what they believe that they will do everything they necessary to make sure that what it is they believe is fulfilled. Heroes will also make sure that even if they have to die in defense of what they believe, they will, because after all, that's what heroes do. The world is filled with the wrong kind of heroes. It set them apart, and too many of us around here could name them off, I'm sure, by name. The heroes the world sets before you. They prove themselves, if you want to call it that way. They're really, truly immature. They don't have the maturity of God, even of society in them. They push the envelope as much as they can against sin and faith, ridiculing everything along the way. People laugh at them, follow along with them, and think they're the heroes, they're the good guys, they're the ones that are strong. And so we have a whole society of people imitating these weaklings. It is easy, very easy, to fall into sin. It is easy to ridicule religion. It doesn't take a hero to do that. It takes a hero to stand up and say, I don't care what the world says about it. I love God. I love God so much, I am not going to step away from Him. That's what it takes. It takes a hero to do that. The church sets before us a catalog of saints. They're on the calendar, and there's many more that aren't on the calendar today that have been on the calendar over the centuries. But as time goes on, saints that aren't attracting as much devotion as the ages go on, make room. They're downgraded, not gone away, it's not kicked out of heaven, but their feast day is downgraded to the point it allows for other saints to come along because they are important for modern man to look upon, to find imitation in, to understand, to examine, to meditate upon what it takes for someone to be heroic in that manner. You know, this is where people usually get scared away from being holy because they say, Father, I'm not a saint. I can't be a saint. In reality, it comes down to it, we all have to be. We all have to be if we're going to be serious about saying that we love God. We can't compromise and just say, well, mortal sin, well, yeah, I know it's bad, but like I talked about on Sunday, this attraction that's there with mortal sin, that attraction that comes up, and it's so hard that if we fall back into sin and we go into confession, then our soul becomes that much worse. We're not heroes when we do that. We're weaklings. And how many people like to be known as weak followers? Most people don't, But when you start telling people this in the spiritual life, you're just a weakling. You make excuses for your sin and think that's okay. No. To survive in society today spiritually, if you want to get to heaven, all of us are going to have to be heroes. We're going to have to be. We can't measure a point of compromise. We can't come along and just say, I can push the envelope. I can do these things and go to confession. Everything's fine. I have to be committed to the point of saying, this is it. Because if we're not going to be heroes, then when the time really comes before we die, the great test that will come from God, we will fail it. We'll fail it because we're not heroes. When I talk about the catalog of the saints, all these saints that are set before us, I'm going to talk about today's saints, 40 of them, 40 Roman soldiers. They were soldiers toward the end of the great persecution that took place. You talk about being heroic. Everybody had to be heroes. A 300-year period of time that you knew to bear the name Christian usually meant you're going to death. And yet people did it. 10 million Christians went to death. 10 million went to death in 300 years because they loved God. Because nothing would keep them back from professing their faith. I dare say there's 10 million Christians a day now who fail God. Who don't care, who will fall into sin because I just can't be a saint, Father, it's just too hard. And yet they'll go out and be as bold as they can in other things. And don't call me a weakling. These 40 holy martyrs, they lived toward the end of the great persecution. And just toward the end, they lived under the Emperor Licinius. They lived in the area of the world we know as Armenia. Licinius was the emperor in that part of the world at the time. Later, Constantine was going to come, and not much later, gosh, within only about a year or so. But these 40 men, Roman soldiers, all of them, strong men. You couldn't be a weakling and be a Roman soldier. But they added to that natural strength that needed to be there as a soldier. They added the strength of soul of being Christian. Now, emperors and governors before had learned that probably their best soldiers were Christians because they knew the Christian gospel told that you had to obey. You had to follow. Even if it hurt, you did what you were told to do. And yet, but because they were Christians, and in that way against Rome, against the paganism of Rome, setting up a god different from Rome, a way of life that the Romans didn't like, they had to be persecuted. It was a strange set of circumstances going on there. They were to be admired, and yet they had to be killed. Interesting thing. Anyway, these 40 soldiers were discovered to be Christian, and none of them denied it. In a trial before the judge, the king or whoever it was at that particular time, the one below the emperor in rank, asked them all. They all admitted it. Yes, we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. We are soldiers of the army of the emperor, and we will follow the emperor. But in so much as it may contradict what we know to be true in Christ, we will not follow. We cannot follow. Our consciences tell us this, and we must follow that. Again, there'd be people there that admired them, but they had to be put to death. And there was a death invented for these 40 martyrs that was really cruel of itself. You know, we think of some of the martyrs, how were they put to death? Their heads were chopped off. That's hard, okay, anticipating those type of things. Some were hung, not much by the early Romans. But this one was unique. It was wintertime when these men were kind of found to be guilty of being Christian. And they were near a small lake, a lake that had completely frozen over. And the weather was, we would call below zero, it was absolutely freezing weather. And if anybody stayed outside, they would freeze. And so that's what's going to be their torture. All 40 men were marched out onto the frozen lake and told they had to stand there This was late in the afternoon. They had to be there all night long without their clothes on. No warmth to protect them, not even a stitch of clothing to guard them against the bitter cold that they would have. And what added to this was the Roman soldiers who were in charge of executing this order for them to be put to death were on the shore of the lake, and they had built this huge bonfire. And they were warming themselves by the fire all the time and keeping it going. And they kept yelling to their fellow soldiers out there, if you will just give up and walk in, you can warm yourself by the fire. Is it really that important for you to die for your God? How come he isn't warming you right now? Do you really think that you're going to go someplace when you die? Don't you see how serious, how terrible this suffering is to freeze to death? These and many other type words they kept jeering at their fellow soldiers, getting them to weaken. And yet they remained strong, all except one. One kept whatever it was. The fathers of the church who write about their life, the life of these holy men, say, this one man didn't live as a hero for God enough in his life. He lived as a Roman soldier, but not a soldier for Christ. And so when the time came, he was strong only for a short period of time. When it got so cold and so freezing here, and he saw that fire, all I have to do is just go to that fire. All I have to do is just walk over that fire. I can say whatever I want, you know. I can say I'm not a Christian, but in my heart believe something different, but at least I won't freeze to death. What a contradiction. That's not hero language. I can go ahead and sin, but still say I love God. Doesn't work. So he left. He walked off the pond. The ones behind, the 39, said they would pray for him. They encouraged him to be strong. But his selfishness was stronger. And so he walked in off the lake. He walked in off the lake, went by the fire, and started to warm himself. They brought him a blanket, brought his clothes back, congratulated him for doing that, except for one soldier. Because remember, we're saying there's 40 holy martyrs. Right now there's 39 on that frozen lake dying for Jesus Christ. But there's one soldier at the shore who watched what was going on. He's one who had admired the Christian soldiers all the time. And he admired how 39 were staying strong out there. He took off his clothes and walked out there with them and froze with them. Even though he was a pagan, God touched his heart. Even though he was a pagan soldier, what he saw in the example of those Christian soldiers far outweighed anything he saw in the pagans around him. There was more principle, something worth dying for, to be out on that lake and be frozen, rather to stay on the shore as a weakling and watch the others die. He's an example. The fathers of the church tell us of what's called baptism of desire. He desired to live for God. And he understood during the night, the men taught him about Christ and the things that he was suffering. And so in his heart, he wished to be baptized if it could have been so, but it was cold. There was no water. He had desire. And that's why he's counted among the saints, 40 of them. He was the 40th one. He took the place of the one who apostatized. And that's the term, apostatized. Gave up his religion just so he could stand by a fire and get his clothes on. What a miserable life he had afterwards. Because the story goes on, with that one that apostatized and walked away, he died within 2 weeks later in battle as an apostate. His soul was an enemy of God. He could have been a friend with God in heaven had he just bore out the suffering. But no, 2 weeks later, he dies an enemy of Christianity, an enemy of Christ. Boy, it's terrible. But the story doesn't end there. You know, we talk about they went all night long, all 40 of them there. By the time the sun came up in the morning, the 40 bodies were there were all laid out on the ice. They weren't standing. They were there, and they were frozen. Almost. Every one of them was still alive. They could see them breathing, but they were frozen, and they were freezing, almost completely frozen. But all of them were still alive. They built that fire even bigger than they had before and threw all 40 bodies in the fire and burned them to death while they were alive. Heroes, you bet. I don't care what heroes the world says they've got. There are no heroes like these 40 men and any other saints that we can read of. There are no heroes like them. What's the stuff that makes men like this? What is it that can commit people to God, even if other people are ridicule them, they have to suffer them, and they may not have to put to physical death, but they may have to die to themselves. They may have to die to their selfishness. They may have to die to their pride and be humble again. And that's a death that far, far too many people, because of their vanity and pride, just do not want. So it's easier to cave in and act like a worldling, but still inside say, I'm Christian, I'm still a Catholic here, I'm a traditional Catholic, I believe in God and all these things. I do that on the inside. But on the outside, I'm no better than that soldier that apostatized and turned my back on God. This evening we want to build on the thoughts we've come from the past 2 weeks. Like I said, one of the part of the thoughts is that we can't have any pettiness. You understand why I'm saying about pettiness? There's no heroes with people who are petty. No heroes at all. People who are petty, who just give in to the faults and failings and sins all the time and make no effort to overcome them. Oh, but Father, I'm trying. That's pettiness. Trying is pettiness. Doing it is being a holy. Doing it is being a soldier for Christ. Doing something is what makes a hero. Last week we talked about commitment of work, daily work, studies at school, whatever it might be. It takes a hero to work and study and act as a Christian all the time. It takes a hero to do that. Isn't that what I asked last week to reflect upon? How much our work during the day, our studies during the day, how much do they reflect what a Christian should do? Is Christ there in front of us and all those things that we do? If you have had a chance over this past week to look at those things, examine yourself on the inside and see, do I work, study, play as a Christian? If I don't, I'm not a hero, I'm from God. I won't have an interior life. I can't, because there is no in-between. Either I'm for God or I'm against him. There is no in-between. This evening's what we want to see how, if we live in these particular ways, no pettiness, we work and live for Jesus Christ and follow his example in all things, then we can learn how to be tough for God. And it's that toughness we need to really develop the interior life so it's strong and stands up against anything that Satan, the world, and even our sinful selves may throw at it. We're ready. We're strong. Tonight we reflect upon these 40 brave soldiers, the saints for today. We think about them that they maintained their convictions. They were Christian, and nothing but nothing was going to take that away. But you think you did it by their own power? Uh-uh. No. That's why this one man apostatized. He went out on that lake, and he forgot to call upon God in prayer. And so he walked away and then died later, an enemy of God. To be a hero, you have to summon up more inside of you than just what you ordinarily have. It takes a strength, a conviction. It takes something about us that is built up day by day, more and more. And that's just the heroes, naturally, supernaturally. It takes the grace that comes from beyond us to do what we need. So many people, they'll say, Father, you know, I don't get it. I'm trying. There's that word try again. But anyway, they're trying. I'm trying, Father. I know this is my fault here. I know I get angry all the time and I'm not controlling it as I should. Father, I know I get these temptations come up and I'm just not getting past it. I don't know where it is. I'm trying. Do you pray? Well, yeah, sometimes I do. My prayers aren't the best they can, but sometimes I do. Dear God, you really think that you're going to build up your interior life and be strong by yourself? Ain't gonna happen. The supernatural life has to be built up by the supernatural, and the supernatural comes from grace, and grace chiefly comes by prayer and receiving the sacraments. So if you wonder why all your trying goes nowhere, do what I told you on Sunday. Check your prayers. If you pray with tons of distractions, you get no grace, and you're not going to be a hero. You're just going to fail. When we receive confirmation, that slap, you know, the bishop does that to it, doesn't do it that hard. Most people are so afraid of the bishop slapping them at confirmation. They think he's going to, you know, I've watched some people in ceremonies, as soon as the hand comes to the bishop, the face goes this way. So afraid of getting that slap. You're a soldier of Christ. A slap of any of the bishop is at best like this. To be slapped like that. To stand up for God is what we need. We need more bishops that will slap the confirmandi and let them know you've just signed up to be a soldier of Christ, and that means you will die for him. You're willing, you're ready to suffer for it, and this little slap that happened right here is nothing compared to what you have to do to live for God. You can't be a weakling, you can't be a wimp. Wimpy people crawl back to worldly pleasures. Wimpy people say, I'm sorry for my sins, and then fall back right into them. Petty people don't pray like they should. There's a weakness in us that's caused by sin. You've heard me repeat it, not just me, experienced spiritual writers. It's in all the books, Imitation of Christ. I don't care what book you read. The weakness that comes upon all of us as a result of original sin, that's called concupiscence, and any sin you and I have ever committed, I don't care if you've confessed it and sorry for it, it still weakens human nature. And it's that weakness that's in us that caused by sin that is going to take away the heroic from us. We can have all kinds of things in our head up here, you know. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to live for Christ. I'll prove it. Next time something like this happens, I'll be strong. People will see I live for Christ. I'll stand up to them. And the people that say that, oh gosh, if you just take a videotape of yourself and show it to the world. Oh, I can't do that. I'm not really a Christian. I don't know why. I know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know why. I just did this. I don't get it. St. Paul, in his epistle to the Romans, and this is interesting, in writing to the Romans, as the first of Christian behavioral psychologists, and I'm not a big fan of behaviorism according to Freud and all the other ones that are out there, but gosh, you get the fathers of the church talking about human behavior and what it takes to live for God as we should as Christians. Now you've got true Christian behaviorism. Anyway, St. Paul was the first of the ones, and he writes about it in his epistles, but the one in the Romans, he's really strong here about this point. And if you haven't learned to know yourself enough to ask for the grace, God, help me to know myself, like St. Augustine prayed. Help me to know myself so I can know thee better and serve thee better. Because if I can know myself as I really am before thee, O my God, I will recognize how wimpish, how weak, how petty I am. And I'm all start praying for strength that I need and change my convictions. I'm just not going to try to convince myself I'm strong. I can walk into this place here and nobody's going to bother me. I'll just turn my head this way. The ostrich puts its head in the sand and 90% of its body is still outside and is going to be kicked or killed or whatever, even though the head was put in the sand. Too many people live their Christian way of life like ostriches. I can hide like this. Nope, I'm so strong, I won't see it. And then, just because you put yourself in bad companions, occasions of sin, you fall into all these particular things that happen here. I don't know why it happened, Father. I'm trying to be strong. I'm trying. Anyway, St. Paul, back to him. St. Paul recognized what was going on inside, the battle, the war. This is the biggest war. This is where the soldiers really have to battle and be strong and be victorious, because if we're not victorious inside, I don't care what else we have to do, we won't win any other battle. The battle, not only is it against principalities and powers and against the devil, as I mentioned Sunday, but it's a battle with ourselves, the weaknesses caused by sin. St. Paul taught the Romans in his epistle what it takes to find out about these things. He said, "For I know that there dwells not in me, that is to say in my flesh, that which is good. I know the things of my flesh. There is nothing but sin. I know that. For to will to do good is present in me, but to do the good which I will, I don't do it, because sin dwells in me. Now, I find then within me a law that's in the members of my body that contradicts the law of my mind. I know what I'm supposed to do. But why is it when this law of my members, this weakness of my flesh, when this comes up, why is it that I follow that? And I call it a law, St. Paul says, because that's what it is. It rules me. It governs me. I'm not doing anything to be strong against it. It's just as though I have to follow it. And I don't stand up as I should. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I do this. Unhappy man that I am, St. Paul says. Understand that. This is not a good thing. This knowledge that he has about himself is not a good thing. Unhappy man that I am. And his next statement, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He's not wanting suicide. But who will get rid of this body that is chaining me down, pulling me down? Who will deliver me? Shall I just despair and give up now? That's not the answer. The Christian answer is to be a soldier. The Christian answer is to put what into practice, what I know I should do, to actually put it into practice and stop just saying, I know what I'm supposed to do. I can't do it, Father. If you heard how many people, strong individuals, are broken down to weeping, because I just can't do it. It's too hard. And yet, they can go out and do other things in every way it takes it. Gosh. Boy. What does sin do to people? Anyway, St. Paul says, unhappy man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body as it is death? What? Who? What? The grace of God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, he says, I will mind the law of God, and I will bring the law of sin into check according to the law of God. I'm no longer going to just say, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to put it into practice. You see, St. Paul likens those who make excuses in their lives for sin, curse, swear, get angry, fall into impure temptations, and whatever, trapped by, you know, immodesty and dress and bad companions and God knows what else there is out there that everybody falls into. St. Paul calls all those people that fall in things like that slaves, captives. They think they're strong. They think, you know, the world says this is what it takes to be an adult, to be a real person in the world, go out and sin boldly. St. Paul calls them what they really are, slaves. Slaves to sin. God has given every person the knowledge of what they need to do. The more they're slaves, they miss that particular point. So then, how am I going to break free of this captivity? St. Paul already says it's the grace of God that comes from Jesus Christ. It's a grace that you and I have to pray for. But when will I truly live for God and rise above sin, the world, and my sinful self? To do that, I must train the will. Here's where the soldier comes in. Here's where the hero comes in. Train the will. It's not enough for the mind to know what's going on. and just say, okay, just because the mind knows, therefore the will should follow it, anybody who knows himself knows that isn't true. It takes training. Do not expect a life of virtue to come easily, especially if we've given into so many sins. Every time we've fallen into sin, that one devil with seven of his buddies comes and takes over. We think we get rid of him. The next time we fall into sin, that devil and seven more of his buddies come back in. It gets worse and worse and worse. And we don't seem to care. And when we say, well, I want to be holy, what Father's saying is right. I need to be holy. I need to work for a saint. I want to be a hero. And 3 days after I make that resolution, I fail because it's too hard. I've got to fight against myself and all these things. It's like, how many people have ever ate just one potato chip? That's it. Anybody who knows about potato chips knows it doesn't work. And they count on that. So they give big bags of them, sell them all the time to people. An addiction comes up. One, then another, then another, then another, then another, then another. Sin is just like that too. That addiction I talked about on Sunday. One, then another, another, another. And it's so hard to break it. Mentally, I can't say this is what I want to do. I have to actually do it. Bad habits just don't go away because I wish them away. Bad habits have to be replaced by good habits. The vice that I've committed by falling into the same sins, and they can even be venial sins. I'm not talking about mortal sins because, you know, we're trying for the interior life, and the interior life means I have given up mortal sin in my life. But I'm still not convinced enough to give up venial sins. And so I keep falling into them more and more and more and more. And I get dragged down. I'm a captive even to venial sin. So, but I'm going to be holy. Father says I'm going to try this Lent. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be holy and do holy things. And then it becomes so hard. So hard to do it. Because I'm a slave. And I need to do repeated good things over and over and over again. Until that virtue, that good habit that I've developed, replaces the bad habit. How did you learn how to walk? Some people, if you just took, you know, if you were somebody coming on this planet and watched how parents let their children learn how to walk, they teach them, you know, what it is, got their legs, you know, built up with muscles and things like that, and the children see them, they try, and they'll finally let go, and they'll start, you know, take a couple of steps and get a little wobbly, and then, boom, fall down. You know what makes the child walk the third step next? It's because it hurts when it falls down. It hurts. If that all life is going to be for me is making a couple of steps and boom, falling right down, hurting, I got to change that behavior. And eventually people learn how to walk. Little children learn how to walk because of that, because it hurts if I don't. If I don't stand up straight, use the muscles, gain my coordination. That's how it is in the spiritual life. We're trying to walk spiritually. But when we take a couple of steps, and all of a sudden that devil's on the inside, or the law in my members is crawling at me and saying, come on, it's only one more time. Come on, it's not that bad. Go ahead and do it. You can always go into confession. And all of a sudden it just becomes so hard. It's almost like a psychological addiction. It's like something that's there. If I don't do it, gosh, I'm going to go crazy. And so I fall into sin just so I won't go crazy. If I would stuck it out, though, a little bit longer. Instead of being like that soldier who walked away and apostatized, but stuck it out just a little bit longer. Wow. I'd had victory over myself. There's three steps. Nothing simple about it. This is going to be one of the greatest struggles in life you and I will ever face, but if we're going to be committed to being holy, there's three steps that we need to take if we're going to learn how to strengthen the will. The first one is, have a strong conviction. The will only works from what it's convinced it should do. If the will is convinced that sin is good to do, it will do it. If the will is convinced now, not just a little weak, oh, I want to try, but convinced, conviction here, And from that conviction comes a motivation. I want to be holy. I want to live for God. I wish to follow his commandments and practice virtue. I want to live in a state of grace the rest of my entire life. Conviction. Motivation. If you don't have conviction and motivation, you're failed from the beginning to strengthen your willpower. Heroes. You understand what I'm saying about being heroes? Conviction. Being strong. No wimps. Nothing petty. Don't just say, I tried. The word try, when it comes to your spiritual life, has to be erased from your vocabulary. If we could do like we can do to computers on the memory banks and get in and go in there and pull and erase something and get rid of it, that'd be the best thing we could do to ourselves. Go in somehow deep inside here, go back and around and back in here and burrow in as far as we go and find that word try when it's incorporated with our spiritual life and get rid of it. Because that's our biggest enemy. We don't try, we do. Conviction. Starts with conviction and the motivation that comes from it. Second, with that conviction now, I make the choice for God and the things of God. I make a choice that way. I truly do it. I say it. I write it down. There's something about writing things down. People who just say, all I have to do is just think about it and that's good enough. No. If you know anything about human nature, if you will write down, I today make this choice for God this day. And to keep that choice in line, I am making these resolutions right now. Resolutions especially that I know they are difficult, but if I'm going to rise above myself, I don't just throw a little in right there, I'm going to not have salt on my breakfast table. And that's supposed to be something that heroes are made of? No. Conviction, motivation leads to making a choice for God. No petty resolutions. They get us nowhere. How much have they helped you so far right now? Probably not very well. Petty things are not worthy of a soldier of Christ. Bad companions. If the internet is my downfall, get rid of it. If I have to use it, then discipline myself to do only what I need to do and shut it off. Television, if that's your downfall, get rid of it. Books, magazines, telephone, distractions at prayer, distractions at Holy Communion, distractions during Mass, bad example to other people. Gosh, you know, we can just multiply all these things. If I live by conviction as a soldier of Christ, I'm going to get rid of all that from my life. And I know I have to get rid of it. And so I'm going to do war against it with conviction, with motivation, and strong resolutions. And then, like I said, the third thing, first two. One, motivation and conviction. Two, make the choice for God. Make resolutions. Third, write them down. There is something in human nature that if I write some things down, I will take it more seriously than if I don't. Because when you write it down, then you can later on review it and think about it from Sunday to Sunday. How did I do this past week on my resolutions? If you don't write them down, you'll come back the next Sunday and say, gee, what was it I resolved? What did I say? Oh, gosh, God help me. I can't remember my resolution. Please help me. Oh, my. What a weakling. What a petty person. No desire to change at that point. Do the things that need to be done. Put them into execution. And here's one more point that goes with that. Put in your resolution, exercise it, execute it, put it into practice. If you fail, you've made the resolution. This resolution, I know, is what's going to help me. If you fail, and I'm saying if fail, this is not a mortal sin. Mortal sin, you got to go to confession. But if I fail on this resolution, even though, Father, it's not a sin if I don't fail in it. It's not a sin if I don't follow it. Come on. Sin or not, it's the thing you need to do for your spiritual life, to grow, to be the soldier of Christ, to stop being petty. Then impose a small penance upon yourself every time you fail. Every time and right away, too. I'm going to work on cursing and swearing. Every time I fail, some people have done this. They've pinched themselves until the point it gets harder and harder. You know, eventually it hurts. I'm going to stop it. So I'm going to change my behavior. I get angry a lot. I'm going to say Hail Mary after every time it starts to build up, because that grace will help me to calm down. But the day I forget, or I say it's not that important to pose that penance on me because I failed in my resolution, you just walked off the lake. You've apostatized. And pretty soon a big temptation is going to come along and your soul is going to die in mortal sin. Three things. I thought it was going to be something big and powerful and wonderful, right? No! One thing about being heroes take the simple things and use them, put into practice, and use them, make them well. So knowing now these three things, what to do, put them into practice this week. That's your homework, if you will, for this week. Conviction, choosing for God, making resolutions, writing them down, and imposing penances on you when you fail. If you will take this plan seriously, if you will, I can assure you, this side of guaranteeing it, you can be a saint. If you will do it. But if you won't, you're that soldier whose name we do not know, who gave up and later died. And probably while he was dying, wondered, how did this all happen? Where did this come from? God, please remember me. We can't do that. So the life of grace is the most important thing for us. Pettiness has to be overcome. Heroes is what God wants. No excuses. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.